I think at this time of year, there is hope and there's reason to hope and there's reason to get along and have dinners and reflect on our own resilience during adversity. And if we can keep that attitude going, I think we'll be fine.
Family gatherings can sometimes take the joy out of the holiday season. A Kansas State University health professional says that family get-togethers often become exercises in patience, particularly when family members have differing opinions on various topics. However, being hopeful can be an important asset in helping to make it a happy holiday season. On today's Sound Living, how hope can help build resilience to holiday stress. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. Elaine Johannes, the Kansas Health Foundation's Distinguished Professor of Community Health at K-State, says all of us in our lives have adversity, including stress or worry, but yet we can still have hope. Elaine, we hear a lot about this being kind of the season of eating, but it's also, in my estimation, the season of stress because there's a lot going on. We've just come through an election. We're getting ready for the holidays. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's just having to be around family and friends.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, you and I both know this time of year, there's a lot of opportunities that we have to either be in a family, be connected to extended family, or some people want to avoid that. I think both of us and our listeners might be aware that, golly, you know, America went through and is continuing to kind of acclimate to the completion of the election. The American Public Health Association did do a study of pre-election stress, and through a national sampling, they found out before the election, 69% of Americans were stressed by the election, and it didn't cut across to either party or community or genders, race, everybody. But what was really interesting in that whole study that came out, 61% were hopeful. It was a Harris poll. And what's interesting about the report, they're hopeful about how their households, their families will reconnect. And we're hopeful with our families. We don't want to be too disconnected from the people that we love.
Yeah, we missed that connection during the pandemic. We're still post-pandemic in a sense. And I think that maybe we've reached that point where we are starting to distance ourselves again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It was back in September, the American Surgeon General's report on, again, isolation, which is not physically healthy, mentally healthy, socially healthy. But let's lean into that hopefulness again. Just recently, I heard that the American Auto Association predicted nationally this is going to be the biggest Thanksgiving holiday season for us to all go and travel to our kinfolk. And so there's this desire to be connected and to be connected to a family and to be connected face to face. And you mentioned what the pandemic kind of frayed, that maybe we were so disconnected during that in real time that we desire it, even though it can be kind of stressful. We desire that reconnection, the recentering almost.
You did a publication on stress in the family system. And as part of that, you were just really, I guess, getting down to the basics, talking about what family stress is, because sometimes we don't fully understand that we are stressed.
Yeah. Believe it or not, clear back in 2021, I and a colleague developed a very simple little handout, which has a lot of good gems in it, and it's about family stress and what a family system goes through when we come together and we feel stress. Some of the things that are suggested that McKenzie Zimmerman and I wrote about is, first off, get prepared. If we know we're traveling and we're going to be with a family that maybe we don't see eye to eye on certain things or have a different kind of hopes for the family or different kind of work styles. Some people do work online all the time. Some people don't. Different work styles, different ways to see the world. But first off, be prepared. And I think one of the first things that we had written in that material was boundaries. What boundary do I have that would say, I don't need to remark on everything that may appear to be offending? Maybe it wasn't intended. Maybe it's a confusion. Maybe the boundary is, if a harsh remark is said over our favorite football team at dinner, maybe we should comment about our team was trying. But we don't have to go to blows over that, you know. So the boundary, in order that we lean towards connection, be a discerning individual. And that word means gauge what we say and how we say it, how often we have to say it, maybe not. And then also, if there is an argument or a comment or something that could be, you know, inflame the people around dinner or we're together, can we tamp it down a bit? Can we take a step back? Can we breathe? Can we be honest with a remark that's hurtful or could be considered? But then the boundary of, I don't need to inflame it. I don't need to make it worse. Being connected is more important, especially since we want to be together. And I think Americans, yeah, we are hopeful that during, especially a holiday time, no matter what the holiday is, we want to reconnect, recenter ourselves, reframe maybe some actual concerns or arguments that we've had, and move ahead together.
Yeah, I think another thing that you talked about was also identifying a support system.
Yes. And those support systems can be not people in our households. Those support systems can be our people that we live, learn, work, pray, and play with, you know, recreation. How many times have you or I had a big meal and it was just so filled with stressful, potentially, discussion that we take a walk afterwards? We get out and we are seeing a different environment, even in the midst of some family stress. So a support system of being in a community, a support system of looking at our nuclear family versus extended. Hopefully, when we travel together, maybe everybody in the car or on the plane or on the train have understood, okay, we're going to go with this side of the family, and we want to be sure that we still are supporting of who we are when we leave the extended family, or the extended family join us and they love being with us, you know. So it's be prepared, understand what may send the whole holiday time off in a direction that we would not want. You know, it comes down to, is the family a resilient group? And part of our material that McKinsey and I wrote really gets at the heart of, are we a resilient household? Are we a resilient group? And resilience means we can bounce back. We have the ability to learn from stress, adversity, especially. We have the ability to learn from hard times. We have the ability to think about those hard times and gain growth from it. And that's really what George Everly from Yale University wrote many, many years ago and continues to refresh the research on, why do human beings continue to persist in hope? And it's our resilience. We have adversity, we have stress, we have worry, and we still have that hope. So we reframe, and Dr. Everly says that is what's necessary for growth. We take time, we reflect on what in the heck is going on and who may be alongside us about, we're curious about what has happened, why, and how can we move ahead? And George Everly has written about, once we do that reflection, that's when resilience happens. And if we become a resilient person, a family, a network, a community, then we become resistant, not in a bad way, but resistant to the next adversity. I think about our families right now who've suffered the hurricanes, and we must reach out to those states and communities and households who've lost everything, and they're resilient, took these terrible disasters, lost everything. I hope that they have the support systems necessary to grow from that and to recenter, and then to become resistant, meaning not in a bad resistance, but boosted resistance of what the next adversity will be. And after resistance comes that reflection again. And that's where, again, Dr. Everly had written many, many books about our growth as a species, as a household.
Well, and a lot of these gatherings are intergenerational, so a real opportunity to talk to grandma and grandpa about how things were back then, because they like reminiscing, and sometimes they're really fascinating stories, and they do show that resilience.
Yes, yeah. Some of the studies that, again, originate with the American Psychological Association and the work around resilience and Dr. Frome, she has written so many books about family health. And it's the listening to the people who have learned resilience over time. And that's just what you've talked about. The older generation, if they are able to reflect on what they have learned throughout many, many years and many, many adversities, they are likely to say they learned from those things. And they came back with a new perspective and an opportunity for growth. And so if grandma or nana or aunt or uncle or grandpa, you know, during the Thanksgiving dinner wax into a remember when, let's listen. You know, let's listen because there's probably a kernel of growth and resilience in there. And boy, if they got through that pandemic, if they got through that loss of the cattle due to the wildfire, if they got lost, they lost because of a job that didn't continue, or maybe a death in their family when they were young. You know, things that we learn, we need to share. And in sharing, we listen. And in listening, we learn instead of shouting at everybody. So I would hope, I think you would too, as people venture on for these holidays, let's not shout at each other. Let's listen more.
Well, and you bring up a good point because also the older folks are also interested in what the younger generation is doing, and they want to learn what they're doing. And I know my kids tease me about always asking them about something on my phone or something on my computer, but that's a way to connect.
Yes, it's that desire to connect. And getting back to that study that was done before the election, the American Psychological Association study said no matter our stress, we still wanted to connect. And isn't that hopeful? And connect around what are we doing? What are we learning? How can we stay connected even after the holidays? And yes, younger people may need to connect through all of the social media platforms and different kinds of technology, but at least they know who they're connecting with. As long as we know face-to-face, if we have time and listen, we'll know who's part of our households.
You may have said it in a different way, but really what we're talking about here is civil discourse.
Yes. It's interesting, and I hope some of your listeners will open up that American Psychological Association study. It's not real long. It's written really well. But no matter the politic that was described before the election, everyone wanted to have an opportunity to have a discussion, a discourse, to understand. And I thought that's hopeful, too, that we still want to be a community. And community health and community well-being is more than just, you know, who's not getting, you know, their prescriptions filled. It's about, do we have a civic voice? Do we feel belonging in this community? And in so doing, can we work to improve it? And yeah, that study got to that. Some of the articles coming out even after the election are showing that Americans do want to have dialogue. Now, how do we do it? Well, we need to learn. We need to learn to kind of listen and then do some of those stress management things that are in that material that McKinsey and I wrote about and involve others. In that American Psychological Report, it talked about respecting different opinions. So if we can respect that, then let's listen to that, and then let's dialogue around it, and let's improve the situation in our communities and our households. So I think at this time of year, there is hope, and there's reason to hope, and there's reason to get along and have dinners and watch those football games that we may not like very well.
Well, we're really just trying to keep the happy and happy holidays.
Yes, yeah absolutely, if we can. With a little tinge of, you know, we need to keep happy the whole year if we can. Yeah, let's continue to listen to each other and welcome the people, you know, that we love and work with. And also reflect on our own resilience during adversity. Oh, we're pretty good. And if we can keep that attitude going, I think we'll be fine.
That's Elaine Johannes, the Kansas Health Foundation's Distinguished Professor of Community Health at Kansas State University. For more information on managing stress, contact your local county or district extension office. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.